Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome to Second Contact, a Lower Decks commentary podcast. I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always,
Charlene Schmidt.
Charlene, we are talking about Season 2, Episode 6, The Spy Humongous.
I love this episode title.
I was a little taken aback. I'm like, is it really humongous? Like, is it? It's not normally a word that you hear in reference to
Star Trek. And certainly not in an episode title. But it makes perfect sense once you get into this episode and you figure out what's going on. Also, I have to mention, it sounds like an Austin Powers kind of spinoff, though, right?
The Spy Humongous, kind of like
the Spy Who Loved Me. Yeah.
Who Loved Me kind of deal.
The Spy Humongous.
The Spy Who Shagged Me.
And then insert tons of 007 jokes.
This episode, we talked a little bit off camera and or off mic, and you have, like, you're kind of middle of the road on this one, mm-hmm. and I've been middle of the road of the past couple of episodes, kind of like, you know, they're fine, they're not bad, they're just okay. This one, I was grinning almost the entire time.
Interesting.
Like, I wasn't like laugh out loud, like, oh my god, no knee slappers, but I was grinning.
Okay,
the entire
time. I think after one viewing, keep that in mind. I wasn't laughing out loud very much in this episode, and I noticed it, which is not typical of my Lower Decks experience, which made me think, you know, how do I feel about this one? That's why it's a little mixed, because there's things that I really appreciate about this episode that we'll get into, and then there's other things where I wonder, could it have gone another way and made it even better? But with that said, why don't we just dive in, and then we can actually talk about it while we're doing the commentary.
Let's go right into it. Yeah. So what we do is cue it up best you can, however you're watching it, and we're queuing it up right after the rating. So after you see TV-14, and when we tell you, like, you pause it, and then we tell you to hit play, you hit play. So, everybody
I'm ready?
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1, play.
And off we go.
So Paclids, right away, we see some warbirds cobbled together. And I see some Klingon technology mixed in.
You noticed that too, huh? Yeah, then Paclids.
So the Paclid homeworld's planet is called Paclid
Planet. Of course
planet.
It is.
I was wondering, you know, like what, how, basically, you can't be called like Paclid 1 or Paclid Prime.
No.
Or some name like Quonos.
You can't overthink
like that.
That's the first and foremost rule of Paclid culture, life, methodology, all of it.
I think it would have been funnier if they just called it Planet.
Just as Planet.
Like, the name of their planet is just Planet.
You know, I think you're right. That would have been even funnier. Just the planet.
And so right off the bat, we get a Voyager mention where he keeps calling her Captain
Freeman
Janeway.
Freeman is mistaken for Captain Janeway. And we're going to get a lot of name dropping in this episode. A lot of our heroes are put up on a pedestal here. Yep. Now, I wonder, is Janeway just one of those names where they heard it and they know vaguely that she's a famous Starfleet person? And so then it's sort of like how every ship is an Enterprise. Every captain is a Janeway.
I think so. I think every female captain is
there
a Janeway.
There you go.
I think let's add
the
some
female captains
to
are
it.
Janeway.
Like, I think
males
that's probably
are probably Picards, if I'm recalling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, don't overthink it too much.
Just like them.
You can't. Why waste your time and energy? Just don't.
Every time I see that black hole, I think about Interstellar.
Ah.
Just every single time.
Yeah. Good call. Now I'm going to be thinking about that every time. Thanks. That's not a bad thing, though. It's a good movie. It's enjoyable.
So with this episode, like I said, like, it wasn't really laugh out loud funny. And to me, that's not, I don't always laugh out loud when I'm by myself, because you definitely have that that sensibility when you're another person. It, like, that's why people enjoy going to the theater. The theaters to watch a movie, is because you have that communal experience and you enjoy yourselves a little bit more in certain scenarios. I know I'm that way with horror films. And so watching it by myself, I don't always laugh out loud. So it's kind of rare for me to laugh out loud with Lower Decks by myself. But it has happened.
I'm the total opposite. I hath no shame. I will laugh if it's funny. I'm a little disappointed in their breakfast choices, by the way. Just looks like... Well, it's not quite rice because it's breakfast. I don't think they're eating rice for breakfast. It's just,
you can have rice for breakfast.
Sure, but
I guess
yeah,
you can. I eat rice
like
for
just
breakfast
porridge,
all the time.
And this is a Cerritos. Nah, like put churros in it or something. Come on, guys, live it up.
It's true. Like, why isn't it like huevos or enchilos or something like that?
Or we talked earlier about pupusas. I looked that up. By the way, I was completely wrong. They are not a Mexican dish. They are also Salvadorian. And you can get them everywhere here. And they're like little pancakes.
So when this happened, like when Boimler fell down and Tindy's laughing at him and everything like that, there was a music cue. Like there was like a sound effect that was going on. And so I thought it meant something more than it was. I thought something tripped Boimler up. But if it wasn't for the sound effect and the music, I wouldn't have thought
that. You know what, though? So it's very strange. Animation kind of thing to do, though, right?
Well, it wasn't like a, it was like an ominous kind of thing.
Sure. I get what you're saying, though. Now, I love how they say that red shirts makes them feel like they're invincible. Great in joke.
This is a very, very meta joke. Not only is it meta like within the franchise, it's within the fans,
yes,
which is nice.
Yes.
I love how they just want to hear about Riker. Like, that's it. That's how they can get into his club, is that, like, they just want to hear stories about Riker. And you know what? If I knew somebody who knew Riker, that would be how you can get into my club. I was like, you can get in my club as long as you tell me as many stories
as you can. Tell me all your Riker stories. You don't have to do anything else. And of course, as we learn, they totally idolize folks like Riker, Picard, what would have you, much in the way that the fans do, yeah?
I like that they had Mariner not get pissed off that Boimler left, but pissed off that it wasn't her idea.
Is this character growth for Mariner?
So I like that they, now that Shax is back, that they're not just dismissing...
Kayshon.
Yes, Kayshon,
me too. I was really hoping we would see this character again because he's got so much potential. There's no way they could have just made him a one-off. And so it's really nice to see them both in this episode now.
I think Kayshon probably gave my favorite line of the episode.
Which is?
When he pulls him aside. I can't remember the proper noun that he uses, but he's like, you getting so-and-so pulled the veil from this guy?
Like, that is a good one.
Like vibes from this guy, like pull the veil vibes from this guy, something like that. I lost it at that. I love that how they're integrating his culture into his speech more and more, that they're not just forgetting that or like relying on the translator.
And it's not just the same stuff we've already heard before. He's got his own stuff and it's going to become his own quips.
Right. Although we do hear later on that he uses the word Shaka as a surprise word.
Shaka. You know what? I'm not mad at that one bit. That is fantastic. That's like the perfect way to balance it.
That needs to be something. So this was crazy.
Oh yeah. Like, okay, so you know how in previous episodes you've talked about how with the animation, how it exaggerates just a little too much and you're not always a big fan of that? I think that's where I have a problem in this episode, where it goes bonkers beyond belief, beyond any kind of logic. By the way, more merchandising opportunities here. He's got USS Cerritos gear. Yo, we need to get on this. But anyway, I think it's just a little too much in this episode, where they're giving the animators an absolute showcase to show off what they can do. It's so many creative, how can we make this weird kind of things? So I can appreciate it for that. But in terms of actual storytelling, they let so many of these containers break and whatnot that I'm just thinking, guys, shouldn't you have biohazard suits on or something? This is not the way it's supposed to go. I get it. I get it. If they did it right, we wouldn't have a story. I understand.
Right. Right.
Nevertheless, they're putting their faces in it. They're just not handling this stuff very well at all.
It's really funny that you bring that up, because as I was watching this and Rutherford got like super big and bloated, I was telling myself like, okay, just remember what Char says. It's like, it's not that big of a deal.
And here I am.
Like,
you
just,
know what?
And so like, seriously, like I try to use your voice to calm myself down. Aww. And enjoy the episode. And now you're throwing it back in my face.
Well, you just can't win with me. Although, the mushesty.
I never noticed that before. It's mushesty, not majesty.
This is why mushesty. We have the closed captions on.
No.
Rumdar.
Rumdar. That's such a good
It really
name.
Is.
So with Ransom, I never hear Jerry O'Connell.
No.
It's so weird. Like, Jerry O'Connell sounds so different in my head and from other movies. And like, for the longest time, I didn't actually think it was Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, really?
I thought it was like, no, this has to be some sort of mistake.
You know, to be honest, I don't think too much about the fact that there are these actors voicing their characters as, oh, that's Tawny Newsome. No, it's Mariner, it's Boimler, and what have you. Like, I'm not thinking Jack Quaid when I see Boimler. So, I think that's...
Sometimes Tindy sneaks out a little bit, like Tindy's voice actress sneaks out a little bit to me, because I first saw her in The Master? Masters of None. Masters of None, like on Netflix.
Okay.
She's a love interest to the protagonist for about like five
episodes. Gotcha. So at this point,
So I actually really enjoyed these scenes.
Oh, you like this whole, like the makeover and whatnot? I love
I
the
did.
Chest.
I did. So did they just put padding in his outfit? Like that
yeah,
has to be what it is.
Because
right?
It goes away like that. He's trying to, it's basically like Boimler if he were cosplaying as Ransom.
Yeah, I friggin' love his hair this
You like
way.
The haircut? I do too. But nothing was wrong with the original
I do.
Either.
I do love how he tries to defend himself. He's like, what's wrong with my hair? I'm a cutie.
He is a cutie. Once again, things are just breaking everywhere.
Yeah, the Star Trek fan in me is just like, you can't just pick up nanobots with your hands.
No, like, seriously. But Mariner's hand turns blue a little later. Is that There it is. Okay. Yeah.
Yep,
so there obviously there's consequences. This, you know what this could have been? Is just like if Star Trek met Jackass. Yeah. Hi, I'm Beckett Mariner, and this is the blue hand trick.
This scene bothered me, where I thought Beckett came down on Tindy way too hard. I felt like I really do. Like, I understand her being annoyed, but it felt way too in your face, felt way too mean. And like, I understand her getting frustrated, but I think they amped it up too much.
I could maybe get on board with that. This is an episode, I think, that's going to, with further viewing, change a lot for me, where I think certain things about it are going to grow heavily on me, and other stuff, maybe the things that concern me now are going to go down.
This scene is probably my favorite scene.
Is it because you see the Enterprise D bridge?
Well, I mean, not just that. Like, it's not just for nostalgic reasons, but I do like it. But when he just they're poking fun at the whole captains don't really do anything. They're just there to give speeches. Like, it's funny, and the fact that he does give a really nice speech, and then we as the audience are enveloped in the world of his imagination and his inspiration. Uh-huh. And I like the editing. I like that the lights go out.
Very
they disappear.
Theatrical.
Yeah, it's very theatrical. I love it. A little lens flare.
You gotta have lens flare now. It's just a given. at this point in the episode, I wasn't really sure where this whole thing, like this storyline was going. So when Boimes is standing up and actually giving a good speech, I thought, what is the message they're trying to give here? So when they twist it and we get to the heart of this story, mm-hmm. I am so thrilled as to where it was going. But first time around watching it, I just thought, what are you really trying to say? And it turns out they knew what they were doing.
I was intrigued with that too. They stuck the landing on that one. I really appreciated that. Because it wasn't completely obvious. Like, how do I phrase this? It wasn't just like, oh, these people are bad and Boimler's good. It wasn't just that clean cut. It was like, no, it's good to, you know, try to advance. It's okay to, you know, focus on your career, but not at the sacrifice of your actual duties of participating in the ship and helping out your fellow
crewmates. The morals, messages, and meanings in this one is really strong. So that is what I really appreciate about this episode, generally speaking, is we get some really good stuff in that area here. Now, this is a callback to the very first episode, isn't it? Where Boimler got eaten. Well, he kind of got eaten by a little monster. And, you know, that's why there's the Boimler scream.
That orifice was way too detailed.
It wouldn't be Lower Decks without some sort of, you know, poop, a butthole, some barf.
This was encroaching on Rick and Morty territory with that kind of detail.
I don't know.
Yeah, who hasn't been pooped out of an alien creature?
This is perfectly normal, at least on this ship.
These pack lids are huge.
They are huge.
Like in TNG, weren't they minute? Like they were shorter than Geordi.
They were kind of stocky, if I recall, but maybe a little short in stature.
They were stocky, but shorter, yeah.
I don't know. Are these like the elite pack lids where the bigger you are, the stronger you are, and therefore the more power you have?
Oh.
Whereas those other guys, they were just average pack lids. That's my theory.
I'm surprised that they stopped at Emperor. Like, I thought they were going to go one more time.
Yes, same here. Like, I was expecting them to keep one-upping each other.
Yeah. And we have a microcosm of society here, where within revolution, to free yourself from a monarchy, you end up becoming the monarchy.
I love that moment where he realizes, oh, I could put the helmet on my head, and then does so. Like, it had never occurred to him that that was the whole idea, that you could do that.
Sitting in a centered chair all day? So I do like that there was, so even within Ensigns, there's some sort of stratification of Lower Decks.
There's a little bit of hierarchy going on, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not just the rank, but also the position. And like these people who are in the command line Ensigns see themselves as better than the people who work on the Lower Decks.
That's what's coming out right now, is we're kind of really getting to the heart of who like what this group is really about and what they aspire to be and how they're kind of going about it in the wrong way. Like, it's really good to take inspiration from your heroes, like a Riker or a Picard or a Janeway or what have you. But later on, Boimler is going to demonstrate what real leadership is and how you become a Riker.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that when we get to it. And this is like... Too much happened with these people. Like, you got to pick one.
Way too many transformations going on here. Although I do like Tendi as this crazy out of control scorpion. They could have just left it here.
Right. And like other crazy things could have happened where like she didn't need to get pooped out of something. Like
that really bothered you, didn't it?
Well, no, it didn't bother me. I'm just saying that like Rutherford didn't need to grow up, you know, 10 times the size.
Right.
It just feels like there's no build. There's no, it's like a hat on a hat.
Well, that's kind of where I feel like this story falls a little short, where they're trying to manufacture the tension between Tendi and Mariner so that Boimler can come in and sweep the day. Like, I understand what they're doing, but The execution of it, I don't know. I need to reevaluate. I need to watch this episode more.
I thought the competing captain speeches were it was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Like, what if you had people who were just talking instead of actually acting, and that's the whole point of
which
what
you could say doing. That is what they think a real captain is supposed to do. Is there if as long as you can give an inspirational speech, then you tell other people to go off and do the actual work, and Boimes is the doer.
With this, like at first with the beans, I was really confused.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait, does he want her to eat the beans?
Why
like,
beans? That's what I wasn't sure about. But I have a feeling it's some weird in-joke or something.
But then once we got to the birthday cake, that's when I was just like, oh, yes. Okay, this is what he's doing.
Yes. He knows what to do here. It's going to work. I love how he's got candles on the top of his head. That's a great visual.
Yes. Still lit.
I was halfway expecting Boimes to be on fire. Yes. Well, she's been through a lot. She had to stretch that uniform quite a bit.
It's kind of like the Hulk, where the Hulk still has his pants on after he. Like, those are some strong purple
Indeed.
Pants.
Indeed. Now, the whole spy plot here with, there it is, there's the Shaka. How do Packleds survive in the vacuum of space? I do wonder this.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, they don't have some mechanism that would allow them to survive that. Like, no living creature really can, right? Unless you're, like, really teeny bacteria.
Well, I mean.
Maybe.
Like, well, we've seen Tin Man. Who can survive in space. We've seen species 8472 who can survive in space.
But you know what the difference...
So we've
like,
seen...
There's no... The Packlet doesn't have like any sort of like armor or anything. Like, he's an organic flesh being.
Well, no, I'm not... Like, I'm not completely disagreeing with you. I'm disagreeing with the line of nothing can survive in space except bacteria. But the Packlets are not species 8472. Right. So that felt a little off to me. I was like, these are carbon-based life forms.
There's limitations. You
know, clearly evolved from some sort of primate. Yeah.
I love how he's so proud of himself, though. I didn't give up any information about what we're doing. Which opens the door for Freeman. I have a feeling they're building for a continuation of this storyline. Like, we do learn that they've got some plan to put a bomb on Earth. Well, it's not so much... the intent, it's much more in how it's going to go wrong on this show if they try.
Right. That makes me think of someone looked at the timeline of Lower Decks and they said, they're like, oh wait, Lower Decks is going to take place during the Mars Massacre.
Ooh, are we going to address that?
And somebody asked McMahon, Like, are you going to address that? Or like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was kind of like, we didn't know that was going to be taking place. It was something akin to like, yeah, that'll be interesting. It was kind of like, we'll cross that bridge when we come
funny.
To it.
Oh,
I
just
fine
noticed
if
that
it.
Billups took back his little thing that they collected, his item. In the background. Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great touch. I just noticed I missed that this time around, not the first time. Now, at the end of the day, I just love Boimes more and more after this episode because he is Captain Material if he wants to be. He's going to grow like crazy. Now, these guys, the Red Shirt Club,
and I
don't know. I think they got some things to think about and they're reconsidering, which is good to see because we need growth.
Yes, I'm glad that it wasn't all four of them dismissive of Boimler. I'm glad that it was just that one guy to show, to kind of like bring home the point. I'm glad that it was, some people are like, yeah, you know, maybe Boimler's right, because a good leader can convince you of that you're going in the wrong direction.
We also did not acknowledge that there's a great callback to the animated series among the Red Shirts. Oh,
no,
yeah, the kind of, not quite... the cat bear creature. I forget what its name is. I'm so sorry, guys. But
the chitin?
I don't know if that's what it is for sure. Don't remember because it's been a long time since I've seen the animated series, but no doubt that is a callback.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know a lot about TAS.
I haven't watched it since I was a child.
He got his 5 seconds
sure
of glory
did.
Right there.
And then got yelled at by Shax. Which is always a fantastic thing.
So how did you feel about this scene? About Armus?
Oh, this is my favorite part of the episode.
Back and being the butt of a joke.
Now, this is what made me laugh out loud, that they prank call Armus.
So I'm of mixed emotions. Like, I laughed hard on this one, like, especially with their delivery, because they treat it like a prank call. Like when we cut to the planet and then we're like, shut up.
And he's just so sad and lonely.
It's like shut up. Other people are laughing.
It's so perfect.
Part of me was like, I don't know, like, Armus was, I still haven't gotten over Tasha's death. I think that's the reason why I'm kind of a mixed emotions with this.
Yeah.
Because he is a big bad. He is scary. He killed a beloved character.
He is a skin of evil.
And now they're just kind of poking fun at him.
He said the episode name.
But it was funny.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like I said, I was like, it's a mix of emotions. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying.
I found that to be the funnest part of this whole episode as far as Lower Decks being Lower Decks. Like, to me, that was just nailing what the show does. Because you got the callback. You've got fun.
I'm surprised we didn't get a Tasha reference.
Maybe we should have. Would that have smoothed it over or made it worse for you?
I don't know. Like, maybe that would have made it worse with her. Like, this one's for Yar.
I don't know. Maybe that's why they didn't go there, because they weren't sure how that would come across.
Yeah.
And so, hey, I don't blame them. And that's the episode.
No, I think you're right. There's the episode. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And please let us know how you feel about this episode. Was it too much? Was it not enough? Did you laugh out loud? Was it just middle of the road? Or did you not like it at all? Go to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select second contact from the menu. Fill out the form. It'll send us an email. You can also talk to us on social media. You can find our show accounts on Facebook and Instagram at The Nerd Party, and you can find us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. You can find me personally on Twitter at The Insane
Robin. And you can
talk
to me at Oh the Profanity.
We'll tune in next week as we talk about episode 7. And until then, live long and prosper.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.